Pero es que vamos a ir al fondo del asunto.
Now, let's go to the bottom of this issue.
¿Es o no una acción diabólica?
Is it or not a devilish
ordenar
action
la invasión de un
to
país?
Order the invasion of the country.
Mintiéndole además a su propio país.
Lying to your own citizens.
Lanzando bombas, bueno, de alta precisión.
Throwing high precision bombs.
Y de alto poder destructivo.
And highly destructive bombs.
Contra viviendas llenas de gente.
Against houses filled with people.
Contra pueblos enteros.
Against entire peoples.
¿Es o no es algo verdaderamente diabólico?
Do you think it is really an act of devil?
Ordenar el lanzamiento de armas de destrucción masiva.
To use weapons of mass destruction.
Armas químicas.
To use chemical
sobre
weapons.
Sobre ciudades enteras.
Against entire cities.
Envenenando el aire.
Poisoning
envenenando
the air,
el agua.
Poisoning the water.
Y allí murieron como en Fallujah hasta los
and
pajaritos.
In Fallujah even the birds.
Hasta las cucarachas.
Die. Cockroaches.
Todo vestigio de vida desapareció de aquella ciudad.
All traces of life disappeared in Fallujah.
Es algo diabólico.
That's an act of devil.
Mi palabra que puede importar.
My word is worth nothing.
Lo que importa es la realidad.
What matters is
creo
the truth.
Es. Y mi palabra recoge la realidad.
And my words
no
only
es nada personal esto.
Reflect reality.
Es verdaderamente
this
algo
is nothing personal.
Moral, ético.
This is something resulting from coming from ethics.
Mis palabras son,
and morality.
Son un grito.
My words are just a
clamor de justicia.
A scream.
Es un llamado a la reflexión en el pueblo de
justice,
Estados Unidos.
For reflection on
no
the
creo que alguien pueda apoyar una acción diabólica.
They cannot support
por el presidente
those terrible actions conducted by President Bush.
Words do have meaning. You know that better than most. Words have meaning.
Hey everybody, how you doing? It's another Johnny Blizzard broadcast. Your forsaken king once again begging for mercy, begging for justice. It doesn't seem to be coming. Instead, we seem to be, I don't know, I guess going to hell. You know, with the situation with Israel, they drop in excess of 1 million landmines to murder innocent civilians for decades. They told us prior to them dropping these landmines that the world should stand united in hunting down and killing individuals responsible for those said criminal actions, war crimes. And people go, yeah, it's true, but it's intellectually too difficult. We have to let them continue murdering members of our family, our innocent selves, God, Christ on the cross. You know, and that's, you know, like, that's the problem people have. I really wish people wouldn't be so fearful of me. Like, I've tried to get on Alex Jones. Maybe I'll try again. But, I mean, people can ask me any question. They can answer any inquiries that you have. And you should have a lot of questions. Like, who the fuck do I think I am? You know, I've been around forever. And it's the nature of truth and consciousness that brings me to understand that. I actually understand it. You know, it's interesting if you read, well, if you try to understand a little bit about Einstein, you know, you don't have to figure it all out, but you go, well, no, it's not that it's lower. It's just a different thing. Like, you just not understand. But I understand how they're being misunderstanding what they're viewing. Okay, now these are difficult subjects. But anyway, I look at that, and I read the, and these are just some of the basic things of Einstein that I've been able to barely grab a hold of. You know, but his critics, they don't understand what he was saying. And yet they'll take a position to say, well, you know, they're so much, they understand Einstein better than Einstein. They're, you know, they're way beyond because we've gone so much further. And all we're doing is regressing everywhere. And it's not the whole human condition necessarily, because we have situations like Noam Chomsky, for example, number one best-selling political author for decades. Now, I'm not saying you have to agree with him because he's a best-selling author. I'm just saying, well, shouldn't he be garnered some respect when it comes to our national radio programming schedules? Like, come on, ever? Never? On CNN? Never? Well, what gives these guys, these celebs, our attention so much greater than all best-selling political authors. You know? And, the one guy is related to the Rothschilds, and another guy is in Skull and Bones, and they like to sacrifice children in effigy, and Sean Hannity just wants to kill Marines by lying directly to their faces, our enemy, because he thinks he's so clever that way. He knows he can't compete in a real free marketplace of ideas because he'd be trounced instantly. You know, it's like Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh's like that for sure. He knows he'd be destroyed. And the waves would fucking just wash him away because he's such a fucking traitor enemy to everybody, all soldiers. Just fucking total contempt for their lives. But we see what he does. He just leverages it. He knows, we all know, there's a whole bunch of 18-year-old dumb fuck Nazi punks out of some fucking southern state dysfunctional school system. He's been fucking working at less than minimum wages, and all of a sudden he's given a gun, told he's lawless, and his commander likes to rape children. Welcome to the Bush world. You're fighting for freedom while we steal all these people's cash. Fucking lock them up without any evidence and torture them to death. You're fighting for freedom. So who fucking gets off on doing that? Sadists, right? Sexually dysfunctional sadomasochists? That's who likes to play that game. You know, like the guys who torture these innocent people to death. You see their tax receipts. They go to the most expensive hotels, the most expensive restaurants, you know, $500 for a 3-bean salad, you know, this kind of thing. Like, and they really sell, it really costs that much. They get a real professional chef, but that's what you pay. You know, and it's only a certain kind of person that goes there. Yeah? See? And they're, you know, they, whatever. You know, people live their lives the way they do, and they think it's all about being better than everybody else by beating the rest of us down, stealing our money, stealing our values, stealing our words, stealing the American flag. Like members of the 3rd Infantry, or the 10th Mountain Division. These fucking, more than half of them suffer from massive, the people don't believe this. You know, this is God's world. I'm going to introduce you a little bit to God here. This is God's world. You know, more than half the members of the 10th Mountain Division now suffer from massive brain damage. And they're probably, well, they're expecting most of them to die shortly. Now, why is that? That's a God punch. I hate them more than anything. Because the members of the 10th Mountain Division, their commanders would order them to murder children. And they'd go and murder children. And I'm screaming at them, since fucking September 11th, kill your fucking commander. They don't. They're cowards. These are true disciples of the demon Antichrist. There is a God. There is actually a Son of Man who understands the timeless nature of ourselves being a property of consciousness, not separate from existence. Nothing is. You know, I understand these things. I can talk to you about any question you might have in respect to our relationship to the infinite. You know, the boundless mindscape of imagination. I can talk about any of those things and tell you that there's nothing to be fearful of. Well, nothing in of itself can be fearful, but whatever. Fear is a strange, so it can be a good thing, you know. But we have to understand what motivates these soldiers to commit these kind of crimes, like members of the 10th Mountain Division. Like people, there's many of these macro-microcosm relationships that I try to show people. They're part of my personal experience, but they're also a part of your real world, too, in your own way and in your own understandings. Like Coast to Coast, we have the national radio program. They'll never let me on to speak, right? I can't get on there. The guy, they have the call screener. He hangs up on me every single time. They never get on there. Okay. Local radio station, they never let me speak more than 5 or 10 seconds, maybe 15 seconds. As soon as I start saying something super wise, they hang up on me. And I've got some recordings. I wish I had more. But, you know, I've had problems, you know. But anyway, I've got a few. I'll play one or two. I'll play 3 or 4 maybe. Well, we'll see where the show will go. But you'll get some really good examples of the same relationship on a local level being expressed on an international level even. You know, the same struggle that you have in your little neighborhood, and if you work to defeat it with reason, fighting justly on behalf of ourselves, committed to freedom. It's hard to say that because Bush says it all the time. Well, he orders the torturing of innocent people, telling you if he ever did such a thing, he would destroy America's soul. And then yet that's what he's doing every same day. Every same day. If Bush told you he would never do such a thing, never did such a thing, that very same day he's lobbying congressmen to let his CIA guys continually torture innocent people, not be held accountable to the War Crimes Act, of which I've been shouting. If I have any fans out there, I know there's not very many, but buddies, hey, there you go. I'm trying to be like an Alex Jones here, show you the stuff that's going to happen before it happens. I told you years ago, you know, this law is, I told you, it's going to fucking kill Bush. Because it's fucking, it's like Hammurabi. It's like when the law in of itself, you can understand as an individual. It makes sense to everybody. Left-wingers, right-wingers. See, the Sean Hannitys of this world, they want to go, no, it's a right-winger, left-winger dichotomy. And that's how the game is played. Don't ever confuse him on that, because he'll try to keep them separated. Okay? But no, there are, unless you're a demon liar, unless you really want to rape women or rape children, steal our money, you know, Greenspan gave $3 trillion to bankers who lost their billions in the Asian market collapse through a scam they were running, dealing with chaos. People don't want to hear it. It was on Frontline. It's your money. $3 trillion. Do the division. Whatever. You don't want to. It costs too much time to think that far. And you got to get back to work. You know, the congressmen, the senators particularly, Republican senators, they're not Republicans, okay? I call them Republicans for good reasons. There's lots of good Republicans, not very many today, unfortunately. But there's a few good guys there, and we all know who they are. But the vast majority of Republicans are con men who are doing this earmarking thing. You know, that's a crime. It's a criminal act. But they do it collectively. And when they do it collectively like that, they figure you can't arrest them all. You can't get them all for it, because they're all working together for that same criminal act, you know? Like, to take a bill that's already been approved, you've already had the debate in Congress on the validity of a said bill. You're deciding its merits and then making a sound judgment. So once they do that, then they add cash for themselves, and it doesn't matter what the amount is. It doesn't matter. There's no accountability after that. Congressmen, we've already voted on this pro or con. We're the ultimate arbitrator in America's democracy. They've made their decision. Then they tack on the cash for themselves. You know? $16 billion in just one acquisition. And these were Republican friends of Rumsfeld and Bush's. They just pocketed $16 billion. That's what's going on. You know? So how do we defeat this? Well, we need real military leadership. We don't have any. John Batiste seems to be waking up a little bit. It's good to see John. Let's get some more of that happening. You got some... We all have sins to be redeemed or made back up for through making ourselves better, through realizing the mistakes we've made in the past. And John Batiste is telling us, you know, these soldiers that have been under his charge have been sacrificed for no better good. Rumsfeld didn't even have a plan, he told us. Just sending us in there to die, and, well, I'm not going to put too many, you read what John Batiste is saying on his own there, but he's moving in the right direction, you know, and it wasn't through ignorance, it was through criminal games that was his intention, right from day one, in his own writing. In his own military strategy called P2OG, now the State Department, prior to the indiscriminate bombing in Iraq, John, Mr. Batiste, prior to the bombing campaign again, members of the State Department were going, well, look, you don't really have to kill anybody here. Just think this through. You know, do what... No, shut up, State Department. They shut down the ORHA plan. This was a plan that was given to all military commanders. Now, John, Mr. Batiste, now... It seems to me you could go a couple of different ways on this. I want you, of course, to make your own mind up, and whatever you decide, hopefully it'll be for the betterment of all. But, you know, there's a couple of things you got to let us know. Were you given this strategy, this ORHA plan, prior to going into Iraq? Because that's what they want us to believe you did, get a chance to look at. You know, I don't think you did. I think what happened is this plan was put into place as a function of America's set up democracy to protect your freedoms, and it was just completely undermined. It was thrown out the door because Rumsfeld, it contradicted Rumsfeld's official military plan. P2OG was a contradiction of Rumsfeld's criminal intent to kill Marines. Like, that's part of, you know, part of every, these are, again, these are God issues. You know, I know this to be true, and I also know that you could easily find out for yourself, but you're terrified because you're fearful that if that was true, then your world wouldn't be the same. But I'm telling you it would be, because that's what life is. We're in a constant state of change, moment to moment, and these reflections that I speak to you from your so-called external experiences are actually, they're parts of yourself. These are the sounds you hear, the voices. My voice is inside of you. As so too, the reflections I see happening in my world are like little, they're like constant challenges. Something's happening over here. It's like if that was all God out there, and God was trying to say something to me while I was having such a great time with my beer, kicking back and relaxing, watching such great movie entertainment and listening to all the songs the Taliban band, I hear God's voice in that. And it's almost like God saying, look, listen to this stupid demon enemy of ours who's murdering our family and friends in Afghanistan or Iraq or in Lebanon, going unchallenged. Well, he speaks these demon lies, saying the Taliban weren't fighting for women's rights. Well, of course they were. You demon enemy going to tell me otherwise? That's what they were doing. Well, I know you'd seen it on TV a million times, but that's what they were fighting for. They were fighting to put girls through a girls' school program. They had a girls' school program. Omar the Just wouldn't blow up a girls' school. Omar the Just wouldn't murder children. In fact, the Taliban, one of their fundamental dictums as a political body, was to defend children's rights. You know, and you go, oh, I didn't hear that. Yeah, you don't hear nothing. That's what I'm saying. Now you're going, John, you're just way too far out for us on this. Well, no, I'm not. And that's the problem. There was no effort made to discern what is fact from fiction. You know, they keep telling you the Taliban banned dancing. Well, they didn't ban dancing. They banned American music. Now, I'm not saying that I agree with their position, but their justification was that they said that they could see American taxpayers, again, you know, similarly as I just said, drinking beer, having a good time, while half of their wages go to people like Ariel Sharon, to indiscriminately murder people just because they're Christians and steal their homes. And those same people with that joyous music are dancing and singing in the streets. So the Taliban didn't ban dancing and didn't ban music. Just said, we don't want any American music in this country because look at what their country does to innocent people. Look at what their country does against the Christian God, against the Jewish God. Because that's the story of their own Bible that nobody reads. Or people do read, they put their own interpretations on things. You know, these guys, Jack Van Impe, he's an interesting character. But these guys are idiots. You know, making absolute judgments on definitive conclusions on what one particular line means. And everything else is heresy. And yet they won't look at each other and say, well how come you, how could any of you be in disagreement then? What are you fighting for then? They undermine their own belief. But whatever, people don't think it that far, right? But is God not just? You know, but Jack Van Impe, I mean, I like their show. It's too bad that they don't fight more, or at all, really, but look to justify their inaction, their refusals. You know, but I got no big gripes. It's not directly Jack Van Impe's responsibility to save this world. But it is CNN and CBC's responsibility to judge fairly our interests. You know, they'll say, our enemy is Chavez. Our enemy isn't Chavez. How is Hugo Chavez our enemy? This is what they broadcast on CGOB in Winnipeg constantly. It's fuck, he's our enemy. He's not my enemy. He's elected 8 times. He's probably one of the most brilliant speakers we have on the face of the planet. You know, he's a great guy. Did you see him on Tavis Smiley? Hey, I got the recording for that. I'm going to play. I'll try to put that in this recording. It is really, really good. get a really good sense of where he's coming from. But anyway, I don't know, the world's a mess. So we got problems, and it's all communication. And it's admitting that we're okay, here's something. I got something good for you guys. No, you people are fearful, I think, and I would be too. I don't hold this against you necessarily, but I'm going to show you some really good, here's something really cool. Okay, now you're saying, you're thinking, you're fearful. Like when I tell you about the Taliban Growth School Program, I got a pretty good feeling that you're mostly, if you're an American, you're mostly terrified at that because you sense somewhere in the back of your mind that what I'm saying is actually true and you could verify it and it would be easy. Mozambique, his wife was running one of the schools. We had interviews. There's tons of it. The Taliban didn't appear after September 11th. They've been around for a few years. And people have been in and out of there. It's the third world, but, you know, they had some kind of operating airstrip. Anyway, so there are things that people fear. And they say, well, geez, John, and another thing I fear is you make all these decisions in respect to lottery corporations and how we're being scammed through bingo halls, you know, the Red Cross, they have these charitable, tax-deductible bingo things they run. And yet the guy, the CEO or the president, is paying himself $475,000 a year. Like, if that's true, like, come on. Like, we got problems, man. It's stuff like that. Like, you know, I know. Like, and I guess there's a fear there. But I think we both, somehow, when you hear me say that, you're fearful that, well, that's scary. What if John actually got on the national news or something like that and demanded some explanation or something? I'd be so terrified. But why? What's terrifying about that? Seeking out accountability. People, ego-wise, will go, well, they'll come after you, Johnny. They'll say bad things about you, Johnny. I'm like, what? You know, like, this is a thing. Like, you know, like I'm not running for political office. Fuck you. You know, well, it depends what they're saying. You know, whatever. I mean, I don't mind people necessarily criticizing me. It's okay. Say what you want. I'm an asshole. I am. Fuck, totally. Fucking, I'm an idiot. Many times. Just sitting there, fuck, was I ever... Pardon my language, I, you know, keep that mostly to myself, but, you know, I'm opening up so much. You know, I'll do really fucking stupid shit. You know, I'm like, oh, fuck, stupid, man, where was I? Oh, Jesus, man. Of all the people. You know, so I know that we have these things that are just inherent parts of the human experience. It's just, you know, that's how it is. For me, and I don't claim to be perfect. You know, nobody does. Everybody, we all realize that we're fallible. Now, this is another fear. We get, you probably don't fear me saying that, but I think there's a fear there where people start understanding a bit more about that, and they understand a bit more about, this nature of doubt and chaos, and now when you get a little bit more familiar with uncertainty, there's fears there. You know, I got no fears there at all. Like, this is a, to me, it's like your imagination. It's like you go wherever you want, man. It's total freedom, right? But when you get a little closer to that, you can understand how boundless and prone to suggestion we actually are. And you can understand quite a bit about hypnosis, too. That's where the power of hypnosis is, or lies, partially. I hate talking about hypnosis. It just messes me up, too. But when you understand how we're affected by suggestion, by better understanding it, no longer fear it as the misunderstood. You know, a lot of people will fear something they don't understand. You know, but when you get a little closer to it, you get over your initial fears of uncertainty, like quantum mechanics. That's where I would say you should start. Of course, not everybody's interested in that kind of thing, but there's a lot of really, really, really good books on quantum mechanics. And that sort of gets you acquainted a little bit more with yourself as a part of your perceptions. You play a part. And it gets to those simple things I've talked about previously in writing and other audio shows. But there's a lot of different kinds of fears there. But here's where the magic comes. There's some negative attributes to going through that process, because some of it requires studying and stuff. Like, I already went through studying when I finished I graduated in America with the college Grant or whatever to play in the football team. But so you got to kind of want to do it, and a lot of people don't have time. But if you do spend a little time looking at quantum mechanics, get over some of your initial fears, learn a little bit more about hypnosis and what is suggestion. Like people who believe that the Taliban weren't fighting for children's rights, like there's something. Like totally, like when you learn about who the Taliban are, you find out that, well, no, it's like fucking totally opposite. Now, how did that lie like that begin? And why does it continue to permeate our system, poisoning ourselves? Remember, that's poison, right? Because it's not true at all. Because they're fighting for children's rights. The Northern Alliance were arming children. They had children as soldiers. The heroin pushers did. Who will admit being heroin pushers? Again, these are the guys. See, this is the thing. You don't know anything about that. CNN, CBC, they didn't want to tell you. Eric Margolis, he should be working a lot stronger than he is. He said a lot of good things. I like some of his papers, but he's skating on some line, and I'm going, hey, fuck, go off the line. Just tell them what's going on, Eric. Don't be fearful. These guys are playing like they're too weak. You'll scare them if you get into anything too deeply. Don't buy it for a second. You know, Peter Mansbridge, I got his office there, his office desk phone number. And I've phoned him a bunch of times. He knows all about General Mahmoud Ahmad. He does. I told him that he can feign ignorance and play pretend he doesn't. It doesn't matter. It's not relevant. Whatever. But that's, you know, that's what's going on. He's got, well, the individuals that I've met, and the one woman who I've spoken to more than anybody else, or I left more messages for anyway, is Carol Off. And like you know who I am. I go on and on about General Mahmoud Ahmad. Go on and on about supporting our soldiers, supporting freedom. Well, I've said that to Carol Off in one way, shape, or form. You know, probably third. I don't even know how many times it was now. I could get mouth on her today, perhaps. You know, and yet she'll still do those shows. You know, she still plays to that. She wants us to be created in her image or some shit thing. It's got something to do with ego. Like Terrence McKenna, he produces the Al-Qaeda crap. You know, and he's, again, I've had a lengthy discussion with him personally over the phone. You know? Totally, he knows about General Ahmad, but yet he won't tell you. If you phone him yourself, if you're able to contact him, he'll go, well, he might. He doesn't disagree with it. He knows it's true, but it doesn't fit in. It doesn't work with the fucking storyline they're selling. And he wants that. He wants to play that role. He doesn't want to give up his ability. Like, if you ever hear his shows, they're produced quite nicely. He's got a very interesting theatrical way about speaking. His own his own little world he's created. They have some awesome music that goes to his voice. And it's just like, wow, yeah, it's all in there. But he knows it's all fucking, it's all theater. And he even believes that far when I spoke to him last. He even believes that's what's going on. You know, but he'll kill your kids for cash. You know, and that's where they're coming from. And now this is the idea of fallibility. And the nature of evil is the deceived disguise. And Hugo Chavez even said this in his own way. He was talking, maybe not directly the same, but I mean, he was quoting Christ from the Bible. You know, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You know, Terrence, you're a fucking enemy of our community. You're killing our kids because you want to play a game. You figure you're not on the front lines. You're not taking any bullets for the team, but our kids are. You know, and if you do your job serving for their interests, you can have no more theatrical production schedules for yourself to do these dramatic things. Yeah? So is it because Terrence maybe isn't, like, I have, again, these are God thoughts. Is it that Terrence isn't being deliberately, willfully, criminally malfeasant, refusing to defend Canadian soldiers' interests? Or is it that he's not strong enough, personally, to defend Canada by saying, Harper, why don't you do something right for our soldiers and demand some justice? Let's do a war campaigning in Afghanistan that makes some sense. No more flattening villages. No more fighting with soldiers who torture innocent people to death for their pleasures. Give these kids some fucking school supplies. You know, the teachers there in Afghanistan are getting like $50 or less a month. Cost this one teacher they interviewed, CBC did, you know, $35 a month to live in a shack with his wife and two kids, or three kids. And if he wants to be a teacher and teach kids, he's got to make it with 15 bucks a month left over. So he's got to do another job, or two other jobs he had. And the Canadian soldiers, fuck all. No fucking nothing, man. 9/10 of all the dollars that Canadians are spending in Afghanistan is being used to murder innocent people. The cowards who fight for the Bush regime in Afghanistan say they're fighting to protect honorable Afghan people. But what's the difference between the good Afghan man you say you're there to defend and the Taliban guy? You say you've murdered 500 or more of them in a small village that's gone now. What's the difference? They go, don't shut up. We don't think that far. Shut up. We just murder innocent people, tell you they're the Taliban, and the story's over. You know, and who are the Taliban? Well, you saw it's a loose-knit group of tribesmen from around the countryside who were working to defend children's rights, women's rights, had initialized national laws, who were open to communication, public trials, not like Bushite enemy forces. They don't want to put those they accuse of being bad guys in front of a public system of accountability. No way. Because they would lose as our enemies. We know that. Right? Like in my case is beautiful so far. I'm hoping I don't go to prison. You know, I'm hoping people say he's a bit crazy and he takes me a lot of places I hadn't considered. And overall, I think we should let him stay free for some time anyway. But listen, I might go to prison here, but it's really important to realize what's going on in relationship to the criminal allegations that have been brought against myself. Yeah, they arrested me for threatening the life of Bush, but they couldn't take me in under military arrest, right? They couldn't arrest me under the Mental Health Care Act because you sit in front of a psychologist, we talk for hours. You know, it's great. I love psychologists. It's my forte. Hmm? I'm not crazy. I'm just crazy because the world's crazy. And you have to be kind of crazy to try to deal with these matters for the betterment of the human species. And now to know those things really makes you one hell of a great guy. It just does. I'm sorry. You know, I'm fighting. The things that make me happy are the things that make all people happy. And I'm not trying to con you. I can explain, actually. That's what life is. I understand life in that field of dimensionality. It's like a big karma thing, a big karma wheel. So because I'm consciously aware of these things, I don't work to hurt myself deliberately. And as a result, people say I'm lucky. You know, in my last fight, I had seven. It's just, we're in the same universe here. Okay? Ultimately, I'm not here to have you obey me. I'm here for you to realize we have equal rights, equality. Equality is what I'm committed to. Through understanding and communication, you too would say, without evidence, the person's innocent, man. Okay? We have to formulate our conclusions on who's good and evil by supporting police services. It's not, police services aren't just there, it makes sense. You know, police officers are a good thing. They just are. It's a good thing to work at, to really improve upon. You know, and there's a huge amount of space for just that sort of endeavor.
Let's try to keep it on the rails here a little bit. Hi, John.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
I'm fine.
Interesting show that Clifford made. You know, he talked about trying to find common values between ourselves and the Muslims. And I'm sure there's a lot of easy ground we could gain if we just acknowledge a few simple things. You know, all religions say God is just. So if you're doing an unjust act, you're not acting in the Muslim faith, and you're not practicing jihad.
Okay, but who decides what just is, though?
Well, if you accuse somebody of a crime without any evidence, you're a false accuser. Hammurabi says you should be executed, and that's the founder of our so-called civilization. If we just take that principle and say false accusers are bad news and are undermining our rights to protect our true freedoms, we'd all gain by that, because then we'd be supporting.
Okay,
you know?
So anybody who accuses somebody falsely of a crime should be executed?
No. I'm just saying that the principle is a great majority, particularly a lot of people who listen to CGLB, are affected by suggestion. You really don't know what you're talking about, for the large part, when we're talking about sacrificing our lives for your causes, which you can't articulate. You know, you just told us about no democracies in the Middle East. Well, we just had Lebanon. I mean, they had elections there. I mean, I didn't hear people screaming out to protect those innocent lives they targeted with malicious criminal intent to murder them. It wasn't no accident that they bombed apartment buildings. But no, we get only the extreme right wing I don't want to take the stage from you. Yeah. You can speak your mind. You'll be able to hang up on me.
Okay, I can hang up on you anytime, John. If you're going to play that victim role, we don't do that here, okay? If you want to actually make a point based on fact, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with you disagreeing with me. I have no problem with you beating up any point of view that's put forward on this program. That's what this program is for. But what I do have a problem with is when you call up and start whining about the poor me, you're going to hang up on me because you're the mean old right-wing guy. You know, that's just, it's victimhood, and it's tiresome, and it's old. If you want to call in and make your point, and beat the daylights out of any argument or any point of view that you've heard on this program, that's what the program's for. If you want to call in and whine about being a victim, forget it. Not interested. Paul, you're on the Nighthawk. Hi.
Jeff, thank you for keeping this program salient. If I might make a couple of comments to those Christians out there who are thinking like,
and to say he'd be willing to sit down and negotiate with such terrorists, I just think that's so shameful, Jeff. I don't want to let him get away with it easily.
All right, let's go to the phones for a moment if we could. Then, John, welcome. You're on with Ezra Levant.
Well, thank you for taking my call. You know, geez, I can't believe how misinformed your guest is. First of all, cut and run. We want to fight this war more effectively. We want to use reason. We understand why your guest doesn't want to negotiate with the Taliban, because this position isn't justified. All the Taliban wanted was evidence indicating Bin Laden played a part in a crime in any way whatsoever. You're persecuting those who uphold the principles.
John, you know what? This is Ezra. John is a guy who tries to sneak in every now and then, and he's one of the conspiracy theorists. And John, I'll tell you the same thing my colleague and friend Richard Kluche told you earlier today, and that is that in about 2 hours and 35 minutes, there'll be a show called Coast to Coast. And you can call in and check out all the conspiracy theories you want at that time.
You know, it's not, but being in Afghanistan 3 years ago, 5 years ago, it might have been about 9/11. But today, it's about a choice between Hamid Karzai, the fairly liberal, fairly modernizing president of Afghanistan, who allows girls to go to school, who allows people to shave their beards, who allows music to be played in public.
What's the point in being a nation if we can't defend what we believe to be everybody's rights? And as soon as we start taking casualties and go, oh my God, what have we done? We're now putting our guys in harm's way. We've done that every time there's been a crisis on the face of the earth. Canada has been there. I don't trust the NDP in their stance, because they've always believed that we shouldn't even have an army. They have no moral credibility in this discussion. I'd rather hear it from people that are committed to the cause rather than people who would normally just go for appeasement.
All right, Randy, and I hear you, and I hear you loud and clear. But having said that, do you think Canadians have the stomach for this? I know where you stand on this. Yeah. I'd like to know what you think about other Canadians.
I think the silent majority does, and I hate to use that word, but I lived through the Vietnam War, and the silent majority was eventually heard.
And I
think it's time that we all get together and decide. It's time that the rest of us, who normally keep our mouths shut, let the politicians who seem to get the majority of the airtime know where we feel.
Randy, thank you so very much. That's the question I have for you at 780-6868. Do you believe in what Randy is saying, that there is the silent majority out there? Well, you can make yourself heard right now at 780-6868. Chris, do you agree or disagree with what Randy has to say?
Well, I agree with what Randy has to say, absolutely. I think that the Canadian resolve you know what, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. I think that it is actually a minority that don't support this. I mean, it's most just thing to try to save these people that are being stoned, and I can go on and on with all the atrocities. But yes, I think that it's a just war, and I think that there is a silent majority that supports this.
Chris, thanks so very much. With John on CJOB 68. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Richard. Yeah, you know, with all due respect to you and Randy and all the guys that you have no problem speaking freely in our community, you personally, Richard, and the people who work at CJOB are undermining Canadian police services, and you're forsaking Canadian soldiers. You know, the true terrorists who are responsible actually for the terrorist offenses of 9/11 want to escape accountability by convincing us that we don't need to be following the crime scene leads to get the real evildoers. You know, there might be bad people in Afghanistan, but these guys have nothing to do with 9/11. And you're undermining our authority.
All right, John. Thank you so very much. John is a conspiracy theorist and believes that there are other people responsible for 9/11. And every once in a while, he gets through. And, you know, we have a program, Heard After Midnight. It's called Coast to Coast. And that gives you ample opportunity to listen to those folks. And I invite you to join George Norrie and friends after midnight here on the Superstation. This is Roger on CJOB 68. Hey, Roger.
Hi. I'd say probably the majority do support the war, but I think, I'm not sure, but the demographic-wise, I think it's usually mind you, Jack Layton's the exception, but I think it's more the younger that still believe give peace a chance type of deal. And the thing is,
I disagree with you. I think I know a lot of young Canadians that get this. I think it's a generation that doesn't have the war experience that doesn't get it. Roger.
Yeah, like the last war we were involved with was basically the Korean War. We actually committed to, and that was 50 years has gone by, and I guess basically lost those. I mean, we might as well not even have a military. We might as well bring them back and just completely disband the military, and a lot of people would probably applaud that.
Roger, thank you so very much for your views. Greg, you're on CJOB 68. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. Personally, I support the effort in Afghanistan, but I do not believe Canadians have the stomach for it.
Why?
Algunos pudieron calificarlo de
some people
nada diplomático.
Considered my speech undiplomatic.
¿Qué diplomático es bombardear ciudades?
How diplomatic is it to bombard cities?
¿Es algo diplomático mandar a matar a miles y miles de inocentes?
To command the killing of thousands of innocent people?
Yo con mi discurso lo más que puedo generar a lo mejor es risas en algunos.
I
algunos
think
se están riendo mucho.
Some stir or smiles when I say what I said.
Así que creo que fue un discurso hasta humorístico.
I think it was rather a humoristic speech.
Nada agresivo.
No damage. No
dije,
aggression.
Aquí huele a azufre, dije.
I said it smells sulfur here.
Creo que se estaban riendo bastante.
I think people were having a good time and were smiling.
Pero es que vamos a ir al fondo del asunto.
Now, let's go to the bottom of this issue.
¿Es o no una acción diabólica?
Is it or not a devilish
ordenar
action
la invasión de un
to
país?
Order the invasion of a country.
Mintiéndole además a su propio país.
Lying to your own citizens.
Lanzando bombas, bueno, de alta precisión.
Throwing high precision bombs.
Y de alto poder destructivo.
And highly destructive bombs.
Contra viviendas llenas de gente.
Against houses filled with people.
Contra pueblos enteros.
Against entire peoples.
¿Es o no es algo verdaderamente diabólico?
Do you think it is really an act of devil?
Ordenar el lanzamiento de armas de destrucción masiva.
To use weapons of mass destruction,
armas químicas,
to use chemical
sobre
weapons
ciudades enteras,
against entire cities,
envenenando el aire,
poisoning
envenenando
the
el
air,
agua,
poisoning the water,
y allí murieron como en Fallujah hasta los
and
pajaritos,
in Fallujah even the birds,
hasta las cucarachas,
died, cockroaches died,
todo vestigio de vida desapareció de aquella ciudad,
all traces of life disappeared in Fallujah.
Es algo diabólico.
That's an act of devil.
Mi palabra, ¿qué puede importar?
My word is worth nothing.
Lo que importa es la realidad.
What matters is
Pero
the truth.
Y mi palabra recoge la realidad.
And my words
no
only
es nada personal esto.
Reflect reality.
Es verdaderamente
This
algo
is nothing personal.
Moral, ético.
This is something resulting from coming from ethics.
Mis palabras
and
son,
morality.
Son un grito.
My words are just
un
a
clamor
cry.
De justicia.
It's scream.
Es un llamado a la reflexión
clamor
en el pueblo de
justice.
Estados Unidos.
For reflection on
no
the
creo que alguien pueda apoyar una acción diabólica
they cannot
como la ordenada por el presidente
those
de los
terrible actions conducted by President Bush.
Words do have meaning. You know that better than most. Words have meaning. I wonder whether you ever consider that the words may get in the way. That is to say that the message that you want to convey gets shrouded, covered by the methodology. So that when you use a word like devil, what you really want the American public to hear, they don't hear because of the language, because of the word.
That's una forma de evaluar
well,
mensaje.
That's a perspective, that's a point of view.
Yo también pudiera decirte sin quitarle para nada valor a lo que tú has dicho.
Even though I consider that what you have said has some value, I might also say
que hay palabras. Una palabra en este caso.
That there are words, in this case one word.
Que dice de manera mucho más clara lo que pudiera decirse con un millón de palabras.
That says very clearly what you can say with 1,000 words.
Y que además quizá por ser una palabra muy fuerte
and perhaps because it is a strong word
y lo es sin duda
and it is indeed
sacude o pudiera sacudir la conciencia
it could then move the consciousness or might move the consciousness of the people
de alguna gente
of some people
que desde mi punto de vista anda aquí en Estados Unidos como adormecida
that from my perspective like a little bit sleepy they're sleeping they're not realizing what is going on
confundida
or they are confounded by
el presidente de los Estados Unidos apoyado por una poderosa maquinaria mediática
and the US president supported by a powerful media mechanism or equipment power
manipula incluso ideas religiosas
even manipulating some religious ideas
él dice que es por mandato de Dios
he said one that he was the mandate of God
se asume como Dios
he considers himself a God
una terrible manipulación
and that's a terrible manipulation
cuando obedece a intereses contrarios a los mandatos de Dios
since this is obeying interests that are against God
como él se asume casi como un Dios
and since he considers himself like God
decirle diablo
when you call him devil
quizá equilibra las acciones
it's just to strike a balance
you said a moment ago that for you this is not personal this tension this gulf between you and Mr. Bush you said it's not personal and yet in your UN speech you reminded us of your personal feelings about what the U.S. did or did not do in terms of coming to your defense during the coup that the U.S. looked the other way that the U.S. immediately recognized those military leaders who overthrew you you said it's not personal but yet you shared that story there are many Americans who believe that President Bush going after Saddam Hussein was personal to avenge his father and there are those who believe that your words against Mr. Bush likewise are personal because of what happened in the coup yet you say it's not personal I ask again is any of this personal or is it all political
no para nada esto tiene ningún perfil personal
not at all this is not personal
yo tampoco creo que el presidente de los Estados Unidos ordenó invadir Irak
I do not think that President
Bush
invaded Iraq because of personal reasons
No, yo creo que ellos, o sea, él y quienes gobiernan en Estados Unidos inventaron aquella colosal mentira
de que había
armas de destrucción masiva en Irak para ir por el petróleo de
Irak.
En un siglo casi todas sus reservas de petróleo.
In a century, you consumed almost all your reserves of oil.
La élite estadounidense
today, the
anda desesperada tratando de asegurarse petróleo
in despair,
para las próximas décadas
to buy more oil for
y siglos
decades,
y por eso la agresión contra Irak,
that is why they aggressed
y por
Iraq.
Eso la amenaza contra Irán,
that is why they are threatening
y por
Iran.
Eso el golpe contra Venezuela,
and that is why the coup against Venezuela.
Productores de petróleo con la mayor
one
cantidad
of the
de
largest
petróleo.
Oil producers and one of the largest
Ahora,
oil reserves in the world.
Cuando yo digo lo que digo sobre
when
el
I
presidente
say
de Estados
what
Unidos,
I said about the U.S. president, and I
rest
you insist, this is not personal.
No, un asunto, te dije, ético,
this is a matter of
filosófico,
ethics, of
ideológico.
A philosophical and ideological
Hay
matter.
Hay ocasiones en las que uno utiliza unas palabras.
Sometimes you use certain words.
Hay otras ocasiones como ayer.
In other occasions, I use this figure
of la retórica
of speech, of
para darle fuerza a una idea
to give
que uno quiere decir.
To an idea I want to convey.
If then, Mr. President, you are not anti-American, as some want to label you, if you are not anti-American, then what are you anti? If you're not anti the American people, what are you anti?
Anti-imperialista.
Anti-imperialist.
Estoy en contra de toda pretensión hegemónica en el mundo.
I'm against any pretension of hegemony in the world.
Estoy en contra del modelo capitalista neoliberal.
I'm against the
la élite que gobierna
capitalist
Estados Unidos, que
neoliberal
mundo,
model that the U.S. elite wants to impose on the world based
cosa,
on
hermano.
Weapons and bombs.
How do you respond to people who say that you are using your country's wealth because of the oil to buy for yourself respect, position, attention around the world?
Yo les diría quizá lo que dijo Cristo mi Señor.
Well, I would answer what Jesus Christ, my Lord, said, one of the seven
Perdón,
words.
Señor, que no saben lo que dicen,
forgive them
lo que
because
hacen,
they do not know what they are doing or what they are saying.
Quizá lo dicen por ignorancia.
Because they say it because
quizá
they,
lo dicen
they
por repetir
like
como un loro lo que oyen.
Or because
otro.
They repeat as a parrot
o quizá
what
lo
other
dicen
people
por
say. Or because they say it because of bad faith.
La sólida posición que hoy tiene Venezuela.
The solid position
el respeto
Venezuela
que hoy tiene Venezuela
gained,
en el mundo
the
todo.
Respect Venezuela has gained
que nunca
around the
se
world,
había visto en la historia.
Never, had in the past.
No es producto para nada
not
de que
at all the
estemos nosotros comprando ese apoyo.
The fact that we are buying support.
Sería indigno no solo de nosotros.
It will be indignant not only of ourselves.
Sino sería indigno del mundo.
But indignant of the world.
Alguien puede pensar que por más riqueza petrolera que Venezuela tenga,
might say that because of the Venezuelan oil,
tenemos una gran pobreza también.
We also have a lot of poverty in Venezuela.
Estamos reduciendo progresivamente.
We are reducing that poverty gradually.
Y un sinfín de necesidades.
And we have many needs in our
lo que estamos compartiendo
what
nuestro
we are
pan.
Doing is sharing the bread.
Con las personas que más lo necesiten y a las que modestamente
most,
podamos ayudar
and those we can
con
help,
los países más pequeños
with
más pobres y con organizaciones
and poorer,
humanitarias
and with humanitarian
¿es acaso criticable eso?
Can you criticize that?
How should the American public view how do you want them to interpret what it means when you stand next to the leader of Iran, when you stand next to the leader of Cuba, when you stand next to the leader of Syria, you know that paints a picture in the mind of Americans. What picture do you want them to see? Because I know they see something. What do you want them to see?
Yo le preguntaría al pueblo de los Estados Unidos.
I could ask American people.
Al pueblo de los Estados Unidos, el presidente de Irán, mi amigo Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Mr. Ahmadinejad did against
the U.S. people.
Nothing. Yes, not has done nothing against the American people. Many Americans, however, have been poisoned by the mainstream media.
And
they repeat, he is the devil, he is the axis of evil.
And
they now consider that Chavez is an enemy, that Ahmadinejad is an enemy, that Fidel is an enemy. What did Fidel do against
nada,
the American people? Nothing wrong.
En cambio, los cubanos, si
however,
y bastante daño a los gobiernos,
the Americans or the U.S. governments, they have done a lot of
entonces,
wrong against the Cuban people.
O a algunos estadounidenses,
so some Americans,
mirando enemigos donde no hay sino amigos,
they see enemies where they only have friends,
con el pueblo
people who want to work with the U.S. people and
en
U.S. government. But the devil is inside America,
los explotan,
exploiting them
los que
and stealing resources. How much
de este país
is the U.S. government devoting to these armies they have around the world? $500 billion. How many poor people do you have here in Harlem? How many poor people in the U.S. who cannot eat three times a day without health care and medicine, without food? Why is this government spending $500 billion?
That's
Venezuelan budget.
Es decir, con eso pudieran atender
so
no solo a los pobres de aquí, sino ayudar a los pobres de Centroamérica, del Caribe, de África, que se mueren de
Central America,
de diarrea, cada tres segundos se muere un niño de hambre en el mundo.
Every 3 seconds there is a child dying.
Pero repito, es un problema moral del pueblo de Estados Unidos.
But that's a moral problem for the U.S. People.
Let me ask one last question about your feelings about the U.S., and then I want to move to cover some other issues if I can. You said a moment ago that you're not trying to become popular in the United States. Do I take that to mean that you do not care what your image is here in the country? You don't care what Americans think of you? Is that what you meant to suggest, number one? And number two, is there anything you like about the United States? What do you like or respect, if anything, about the United States?
Mira, mucho más que importarme a mí lo que el pueblo de Estados Unidos pueda pensar de mí.
Much more than caring about what the American people might think about me.
Mucho más, infinitamente más me importa es la suerte del pueblo de los Estados Unidos.
But much more about the future of the American people.
Y no solo por el pueblo de los Estados Unidos.
Of the American people, not only because of the American people.
Sino por el destino del mundo,
but
de los pueblos del mundo.
Of the future of the world.
Porque yo tengo conciencia.
And I am fully aware
de que lo que pasa en Estados Unidos,
that what happens here in America,
los acontecimientos dentro de los Estados
the
Unidos,
the events within America,
tendrán en el futuro inmediato y en el futuro de este siglo
in the immediate future,
impacto
in this
muy fuerte en lo que ocurra en el resto del mundo.
Impact on events around the world.
Por eso, hermano, ¿qué puede importar
yo? That is why I don't care.
Yo,
I'm just
una minúscula paja en el
viento. I'm just it is of nothing. I mean, straw
no,
in the wind.
No era yo, sino lo que puedan opinar de mí.
Or what people might think about me. It doesn't matter.
I have heard you speak in Venezuela. I have heard you speak here in the United States. I have never heard you speak once without referencing Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I happen to believe that Dr. King is perhaps the greatest American we have ever produced, and for whatever reason or reasons, his work has impacted your life, and you are a student of him and reference him rather consistently. Why is that? What's that about?
Yo comparto tu opinión.
I share your opinion.
Si no el más grande, para mí, uno de los más grandes,
not perhaps the greatest, one of the greatest,
que ha existido jamás,
American ever.
Muhammad Ali decía,
Muhammad Ali
el más grande,
used to say the greatest.
Casi Clay.
Yo admiré mucho a Muhammad Ali.
Admire Muhammad Ali enormously.
Ahora, Martin Luther King.
Now, Martin Luther King Jr.
Fueron aquellos años 60.
In the 60s.
¿No? A él lo asesinaron, ¿qué año fue?
He was assassinated, what year?
1968.
68, correcto. Yo nací en el año 54.
I was born in 54.
Así que en los 60 estaba saliendo de la infancia.
I'm just a young child.
Tenía 14 años yo cuando asesinaron a Martin Luther King.
14 years old when he was killed.
Por aquellos años asesinaron a Kennedy.
Kennedy was also assassinated in that period.
Por esos años asesinaron al Che Guevara.
Che Guevara also passed away in that period.
Por esos años uno fue naciendo, pues, a la vida.
I was opening my eyes to the to life when I those
siempre recuerda uno con mucho sentimiento la década de los 60.
We remember a lot the 60s.
Y dentro de esos acontecimientos,
and
que aquel niño adolescente que era yo,
that youngster,
ya estaba en secundaria.
I was in high school already.
Uno de los acontecimientos,
and one of the events,
que me impactó,
that truly
fue aquel hombre negro,
marked me,
como
was
mi padre,
that black man, as black as my father,
como de tu color,
you're the same color.
Padre es negro, mi abuelo era negro.
My father was black.
Lo llevo muy
black,
con mucho orgullo la negritud.
Father was black. And I'm
mestizo, mitad negro.
Half the black, half Indian.
Me siento orgulloso de
and I'm very proud
orgulloso de
my
país,
color, of my roots. My grandmother was an Indian and my grandfather was a black man. So
aquel
I was truly
valiente,
touched
marcha,
by that courageous man, those
crowds,
the rebirth of the black movement.
Mi padre comentaba,
my father used to mention that movement already, equality of the black people, black people, and equality with the white people. I started to read and study Venezuelan history at that time,
and negro
started
José
to admire the fight
Martin,
of the black man, José Leonardo Chirinos, a martyr of independence, how the black people joined the army of Bolívar.
Bolívar liberó los
Bolívar freed the slaves
y los convirtió en libertadores,
and transformed them in liberators.
Entonces me impactó mucho,
so I was impacted by his
cuando leí
him.
Aquella
when
oración,
I read
es como una oración,
the oration,
I have a dream, aquí lo llevo grabando.
It is carved
tengo,
in my soul.
Sueño. I have the same dream. Un mundo de paz.
As a world of peace.
De iguales,
a world social. Of equals, of social justice.
Y luego la forma como lo han matado.
And the way he was assassinated.
Me partió el alma.
It broke my heart.
One of the tenets of King's life, and certainly the end of his life, he was working on a poor people's campaign. There is a conversation that has kicked up in this country, certainly, and in parts of the world, but a conversation that's kicked up about how and what needs to be done to end poverty. Can we find a way to end poverty? Your thoughts on that?
Yo te puedo resumir como una línea central en la que yo creo profundamente.
A basic guideline, in which I believe profoundly.
Creo que es
to get rid of poverty, we need to empower the poor.
Darle protagonismo a los pobres.
Empower the poor.
Darle poder, transferirles poder.
To transfer power to
porque
the poor.
Ellos mismos.
Because themselves.
Con ese poder,
with that power.
Son los actores fundamentales.
They will be.
Para derrotar esa pobreza.
The main actors in defeating poverty.
Que ellos cargan como una cruz.
That is a cross they are bearing.
Y el primero de esos poderes.
And one, the first power we should deliver, be given them.
Es el conocimiento.
Is knowledge.
Conocimiento, la luz.
Light.
El entendimiento.
Enlightenment.
La cultura.
culture.
Decía José Martí, el gran
José
cubano,
Martí, the great Cuban revolutionary.
Hay que ser cultos para ser libres.
We need to be cultivated to be free.
Conocimiento.
Knowledge.
Simón Bolívar decía.
Simón Bolívar.
Ese otro grande revolucionario.
Great revolutionary said.
Un hombre sin estudios.
A man without studies.
Es un ser incompleto.
Is an incomplete.
Luego dijo.
And then he
por
said,
la ignorancia nos han dominado más.
We have been dominated far more by ignorance than by force.
Mr. President, I thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you for your time and for sharing with us.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, sir.